minutes. Throughout the night, Russian troops have moved to encircle Kyiv after pounding that city and several others from the skies. Our crew on the ground in Kyiv witnessing the explosions, from missile strikes to small arms fire, although their latest word is they aren't hearing those larger explosions at this hour, just the smaller weapons being fired. But things are changing minute by minute.
The evacuation of Nigerian students from Sumi commenced on Tuesday. Nigeria's Minister of Foreign Affairs, Geoffrey Oyama, made this known on Twitter. He expressed delight and relief as the students undertake this trip to safety.
One of the biggest issues in the world right now is the Russian invasion of Ukraine. When you turn on cable news or you go on social media, that is the news that hits you first. And many nations around the world have been impacted by high energy prices triggering global inflation. But mostly, non-European countries, Nigeria inclusive, can be a bit detached from the situation. Except, of course, Nigerian students studying in Ukraine and their families. They experienced and watched in dismay as this invasion unfolded. Nigeria represents numerous groups of all foreign students studying in Ukraine, and according to data, over 4,000 Nigerian students are studying in Ukraine. As the invasion went underway, there were desperate attempts to get the students out of Ukraine. I speak to Princess and her father, who recalled the ordeal of trying to escape war in a foreign country as a Nigerian student. Can you just tell me your full name? Let's start with that.
Oh, my name is Eswa Princess Ntomo.
Okay. So, Princess, you were in school in Ukraine,
yes,
right? Which school were you in Ukraine exactly?
National Aviation University.
What were you studying?
Software engineering.
Okay, in Kyiv, right?
Yeah.
Okay. This was your first year. So you just got in when this happened?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. So tell me your experience from the beginning. Did you see this coming at all, this war with Russia?
There were rumors on the news and all, but people were still saying it's not possible for Russia to actually invade Ukraine. So that's why people still left. So I knew some people that left before the airstrikes and invasion. But people were like, it's not going to happen. So we all stayed there. My close friends were all still around. So that's why I stayed.
Tell me about, when you knew you had to leave.
It was the second day of invasion, actually. The first day was still calm. Like, just go to the bomb shelters when you hear the siren and all that. But the second day, when everybody started packing their bags, I knew I had to pack my own bags to leave.
But how did you feel? How did that experience make you feel? Just hearing the bombings and you had to run to the shelters, how did that make you feel?
It was scary. Like, what if as you're going to the shelters, you die? So it was not funny. Going outside of my room was actually scary. Even going to board a bus to the train station was also scary. Like, you're just looking at the sky. If you see missiles or something.
So you could actually hear and see and all of that.
Times when I was in the bus to the train station, you could hear sirens and they're like, what can you do? You're in a moving bus.
Oh, wow.
So, no.
But you left the second day. So you left before it actually fully escalated.
Yes.
In your school, you had other Nigerians there, right?
Yeah, other Nigerians.
And Indians, Africans. And
Ghanaians, yeah.
So did you all plan to leave at the same time and move as a group, or it was just individual?
It was just you and your roommates kind of thing. Just you and your roommates. But some countries, on the first day, Indians, they left, like their embassy came, but Nigerians, no, not on the first day.
Did you try to reach the embassy, you and some other Nigerians? Did you try to do
the
that?
The first day, when we were all in Ukraine, they were not reachable. But it was when, you're in Poland, coming to Nigeria, that's when they were reachable. But from Kyiv, from Ukraine, no, you can't reach them.
Why do you think that was? I mean, they had an embassy in Kyiv, didn't they?
They had an embassy in Kyiv, but the ambassador was not reachable. The first 2 days, he wasn't reachable.
Oh, wow. So you had to find your way to Poland?
Yes, you had to find your way to Poland. But they started receiving people from Poland. So, they did accommodations feeding in Poland or Hungary, but not in Kyiv, not in Ukraine.
So tell me what you did. You said you left, you got a train from Kyiv.
No, yes, I got a train from Kyiv to another city, Lviv, which is like close to Poland. So from there, I can get a cab to the Poland border. But that was difficult because everybody was going to Poland. I didn't even go to Poland. I went to Hungary.
Oh, you went to Hungary instead.
Yeah.
So you didn't experience any of the racism that they were talking about?
No, I got to Poland border, but it was difficult. So I got back and took a train to Hungary because it was easier.
Oh, Hungary was actually easier. Poland, everybody was going to Poland anyway.
Yes.
So there was a lot of traffic. Yes. Well, you didn't experience any of the racism where, you know, they were separating blacks from...
Only when I was getting... When I tried getting the train to Poland, there was crazy racism because they didn't allow any black on the train at all. Just women, white women and children. And I don't really blame them. But
why don't you blame them?
Because why I don't blame them is because they have to think of their people first. Like, I don't know, but I didn't get hurt by that. I just saw it as normal. Get another alternative, go to Hungary. Think of yourself. Don't be complaining like they didn't carry me and wait there. You wait there for days, so just get an alternative.
Did the cold affect you? Because I know people were complaining about the cold, or you were prepared.
Oh God. The cold was, wow. No. No matter how prepared you are, the cold is still going to get to you because the train station is just like an open space. So waiting there, I was there till 1 a.m. in the morning.
Wow.
That's when I knew that, no, Poland is not...
When did you get there to wait till 1 a.m.?
I left Kyiv on Friday, 15 hours train to Lviv. So I got there 5 a.m. on Saturday. So 5 a.m. Saturday, and after I got into my friend's car, we drove to Poland border. But then there are three borders we checked and they were closed, like they were not allowing people pass. So it was just a long queue. So we got back to Lviv and I was like, I'm just going to rest, like sleep, because I haven't slept since Thursday, since the invasion. We have just been up waiting for sirens to run to bomb shelters. So I rested a bit in Lviv at the accommodations that the Ukrainians, like they actually took care of us. We have food, water.
That's the Ukrainians at Lviv?
Yes.
Okay.
So in the evening time, there was a train, because the trains, they don't go every time, so you have to wait. So 7 p.m., a train left, they didn't carry us. The next, they said it would come around 10, it didn't come. It came around midnight, 12.
Wow.
So boarding, it takes like an hour. So you have to make sure the train has gone that, okay, before you give up. So I gave up at 1 a.m.
Wow.
Went back to the shelters that they created, slept. So we got to Sunday. Sunday, the train to... We are still looking for a bus to Poland because since car won't work, trains won't work, bus. So the bus, they were paying 100 euros cash. And I had 100 euros, but not cash. ATMs weren't working, so that was impossible as well. So, but trains are free, so you can just get on the train. Then my brother was like on group chats, Twitter spaces, getting information because I can't just be online all the time because there were no places to chat.
Yes, exactly.
So he was giving me information and he was just like, Princess, you have to kill the Poland matter, go to Hungary instead. So I told my friends, talked about him, we're like, yeah, let's go to Hungary because we hadn't eaten good food in a while. That was Sunday from Friday. Like, so Sunday we waited for the train to another city in Kyiv. It was not Lviv to Hungary straight. It was Lviv to another city, then Hungary. So the train to the other city was 5 hours. So 5 hours, we got there. We took a cab, to the border. Then from the border, we now went to the train station to take... Oh, sorry, I'm confused. We took a bus to the train to go to the border.
Okay.
So we all thought that we could get on the train, but the crowd there, it was not even racism at this time. It was everybody there was black. So it was not racism, it was crowd, like massive crowd.
They had That's to get, the border to Hungary.
Yes. So you had to get a ticket first, then you get stamped before you can even board the train.
Oh, wow.
So to get a ticket, queue to get, and the tickets were not expensive, but it was just the queue at that time. So me and my friend were just two that decided to go to Hungary because people were still insisting on Poland. So we were just two. But she got a ticket. People were selling. The ticket was going for, let's say, 200 of their current, 200 grivens. So people would go there and buy like 20 and come
and
out.
Come and resell to like everybody.
Black market kind
of. Oh, wow.
So, and they were selling like times two of the original price, times five.
Wow.
So she was able to get a ticket, but I didn't even see. If I could see myself, at this point, it's emergency. Money doesn't matter.
Exactly.
But I didn't even see to buy. So I just got a cab. The cab was going for like, let's say 10,000 naira per seat.
Wow.
To Hungary border.
Wow.
So I paid that one and that's how I got to Hungary. So we splitted at that time. Like we got split. She'll use the train, I use the cab. So I see my other people I knew, but we're just not as close as.
So did you feel alone? Did you feel?
I felt alone because I was like, now my friend, I was sure that we could stay together, find a place together. But these people, I know them, they are in my school, but they can still just disappear.
Yeah.
But I just had to go because she had already gotten a ticket. She won't wait for me now.
Of course.
When the train is going.
Of course.
So I had to man up and go my way. But they didn't leave me. We all stayed together.
So when you got to Hungary, how was that? Because then you were able to talk to Nigerian officials?
No, they were still white people. When I got to the Hungary border, all they were saying is, okay, you get stamped first. Then they now put us in a building to wait for buses to the capital. We waited and waited, waited for hours. My church, Redeemed Church, that they were organizing buses, took a while to come. So I just used the normal bus that they provided for us here. So we now went to the train station to the capital and the connection was really bad. And even to get into that train, we're like, let's say 200 and the bus carries only 40 people. So imagine when the bus is pulling over, everybody's
struggling. The rush.
The rush, exactly.
Hmm.
But I also fought my way through.
You didn't have a choice.
Because I missed the first one and missed the second one. I was like, no, I can't stay here tonight. Or they can just take me to a refugee camp. So I had to fight my way to get there. But on entering that bus, everything became easy. But at first, when we boarded the bus, they were saying stuff about signing refugee. And this thing, language barrier was a really big thing in Hungary because we didn't know the language. Nobody knew the language. Then they were now speaking to us in their language.
Oh, wow.
So some people that could translate a little, three different people will come up with three different translations. So you're like, which one do you follow? They said, come down if you don't have COVID certificate. Some will say, come down if you want to take a COVID test. I didn't take it. I just slept in the bus to cool my mind because I didn't want to take any wrong decisions. So I just stayed where I was. But I woke up at the train station to Budapest. So I thank God for that.
So did you get in touch with any Nigerian official when you got to Budapest?
Yes, no Nigerian officials per se, just my church people. They were arranging us because we are kids. All of us, the oldest among us was 19, 20.
How old are you?
I'm 17.
Okay.
So we were kids. So the only adults we knew that are Nigerians were like older people in our church that have been in the country for like 10 years.
So even the Nigerian embassy in Hungary weren't talking to you people?
They weren't talking to us at first. No, I didn't ever speak to them. I feel like they were just speaking to the adults and they were passing it to us because that's what I feel.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So how long did you stay in Hungary before you came back to Nigeria?
I stayed there 2 or 3 days. I think I arrived Hungary on Tuesday and I came back on Friday.
Okay. So how did you come back on Friday? That was you personally. It wasn't the Nigerian government that brought you back.
No, I wanted to follow the Nigerian government, but to communicate with them was difficult. So I just came back on my own.
When you say to communicate, well, that was difficult. How do you mean?
Like, they were giving out posters, like links. Okay, sign up here if you want to follow the evacuation flight. Sign up here. I signed up, filled the forms, put in my details, but they never got back to me. And they said Thursday, a flight to leave, and I didn't even know when the flight left. So my dad was like, I should just come on my own.
So you just came on your own. So daddy had to pay for the flight and everything and came back by yourself. Mm-hmm. When you got back, did you have to signify anywhere that you got back from Ukraine?
Okay, when I was leaving Budapest to Nigeria, they were asking for a COVID test or COVID certificate. Mm. I haven't gotten my COVID vaccine or I didn't take a test. But they just allowed me go because I was coming from Ukraine. But on a normal level, they won't allow you pass. So I guess, and when I got to Abuja here, they were asking if you're from Ukraine, come this side. They did us COVID test, and then we're allowed to go.
Okay. So babe, because you didn't come with the evacuation flight, so you didn't get the $100 that they said they were giving to you people.
No, yeah, I didn't get $100.
So let's talk about what the next plan is for you right now. I mean, this was your first year in school. Mm-hmm. We don't know how much longer this is going to go on for. Mm-hmm. Did you get information from your school? What is supposed to be the next plan?
Okay, regarding my school, they said online classes will start in April. So we're holding on to that one for now. But in case, we always have to have backup, but in case that one doesn't work out, we're still looking at schools in Europe, like Poland, Germany, because they're actually giving scholarships to students from Ukraine.
Okay.
So we're looking at that.
So they're giving scholarships regardless of, you know, whether you are Ukrainian or not.
Yes, as long as you're schooled in Ukraine and you have the residence permit, yeah, they'll give you a scholarship.
Okay, so you're looking at some schools in Poland or
Germany,
to apply for to continue with your course. If this, but if they say now that if things are settling down, you can come back. You're ready to go back to Kyiv.
My bags are packed.
You miss your school?
Yes, I miss the environment. Yes, I miss everything about Ukraine.
Oh wow, you like the country?
It's easier than here. So
it's easier than here. Ah. Okay, but let me ask you, because all this racism thing they were talking about, I just want to find out, when you were in Ukraine, did you experience any sort of racism?
No, I didn't experience, like, day to day.
Yes.
No, I didn't experience any. But you still know that there are some people that don't like blacks. But I didn't experience it, like, on a large scale. Like, maybe I want to go here and they're like, no, I didn't experience that kind of thing.
Fantastic. I mean, right now, Nigerian schools are on strike. If not for Ukraine, see the war going on, you will be in school and continue your education. Yeah. So definitely, I understand the appeal of going to a place where schooling is uninterrupted and just being able to finish your course. Thank you very much, Princess.
You're welcome.
You know, for talking to me. Let me ask Daddy a couple of questions. You know, we have to... Okay, so just a couple of questions, you know. How did you feel? I mean, this is your baby, 17 years in Ukraine when this happened. What was going through your mind?
You know, we're getting conflicting information from the TVs, you know, from social media. It was like, you know, Russia was going to crush Ukraine the next day.
So this was something that affected you personally?
You know, my daughter was in the capital of Ukraine, that is Kyiv.
Yes.
And that was the point that, you know, the Russian military were attacking. So, I mean, it was like, and the airports were closed.
Yes.
My intention was, okay, go to the airport, take a flight and come to Nigeria. But the airports were closed. That was the thing that hurt me. Seriously, that was when I almost broke down, because I said, I mean, somebody wants, is not part of your country, is not part of the war. Let the person leave. Why do you close the airport? My prayer was, when will they open the airport? Let other people leave. So I get up to now, the airport is not even closed. So the other opportunity, just like you said, in fact, I'll just believe in God to see her move from Kyiv to Lviv. I've never heard of that city, Lviv, before, if not for these incidents. from leaving. But we just thank God for everything. But it was really heartbreaking. The whole family never slept because
all through that period.
Of course, now we'll be watching on TV. We really, and my daughter really tried because at all points in time her phone was always charged. I mean, to wonder how were you getting your phone charged, because each time if we just try the phone and it's not going, there's panic.
Yes.
You
yes.
don't understand me now.
Yes.
If you just send a message and you look for 30 minutes, 1 hour,
no
response. You begin to wonder, are you there? What's happening? But when we see the WhatsApp green tick, oh wow, that's a respite for peace, you know. But she tried. I just give God the glory on all the incidences. So that was just it.
So you had to just make sure that she could come back to Nigeria herself, regardless of anything.
Yeah. When she got to Budapest, and I knew that there was a flight from Budapest to Nigeria, why do I need to wait? Why do I need to wait for certain uncertainty? So if there's a flight there, the airport is open, take a flight and
just
go
come
to
back.
What are you waiting for? So where with their $10, I mean $100 or whatever they're paying there.
So when you saw her, how did
but
you
when
see?
I saw her, I was like, I was just making fun. I say, you've got to fight the Ukrainian war. I say, why didn't you join the Ukrainian army at once? Just but wow, when I saw her, I was like, my daughter, and she's my first daughter, so I don't
did it make you feel like, oh, I should have just kept her here in Nigeria? Did that thought ever come to your mind?
No. You see, my other two children, senior to her, have been to universities here in Nigeria, and I feel that it's important for her to get a foreign education, because the difference is much. I didn't have any regrets anyway, but my own was, if she's just safe, she'll still go back if the place is open.
It's
a global thing, so it's not, you can't blame it on any particular person.
Exactly.
And I think that the situation we put under control, so they'll all return back to school. A lot of Nigerians, a lot of Nigerians right there.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you so much, both of you, for talking to me. I really just wanted to get a firsthand, experience, from you regarding this.
And you know that she has not given me all these details, so if not for
me. Well, I'm asking the questions. But let me ask you this, Princess, one last question, very quickly. Have you communicated with any Nigerian organization since you got back, whether it's the Nigerians in Diaspora Commission or the Foreign Affairs Ministry? Did they try to reach you? Because they said, of course, they have your details because you're a Nigerian student. So have they tried to communicate with you?
I contacted you one, and the way I could reach her, because she's actually a family friend. But aside that, I don't think that I would have contacted with any Nigerian diaspora or anything.
So you didn't talk to any Nigerian organization since you got back? No agency has reached out to you or anything?
No.
Wow. What about your friends? I mean, you made friends in Ukraine, right?
Mm-hmm.
So have you been communicating with them? How are they?
Most of them are already in Germany.
Oh.
They just want to maybe relax or find education there. So most are in Germany. Most didn't come back. Like, despite the numbers that came, there are also numbers that didn't come.
Did you make any Ukrainian friends?
Oh, Ukrainian friends.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. They are still in their country.
Oh, wow.
The ones in my class that I speak to, the Ukrainians are actually, let's say, they care for their country. They're like, I can't leave my country. I must stay here and fight, volunteer.
So they are ready to volunteer and fight as young as they are.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
And that's like the difference between Ukraine and Nigeria.
Oh, wow. That is a huge difference.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
For talking to me, Princess.
You're welcome.